And it's Data Report. That was a familiar song. I bet I don't have to tell you, John Lennon. And I think Yoko was part of that. Well, give peace a chance. That's what we often talk about on the Data Report. By the way, we're 11 a.m., and we'll all be rebroadcast at 5, and we'll be this for a few weeks until everybody gets adjusted. And we're going to talk now with somebody, a CIUT voice, Riley Moorman. Are you there, Riley?
I am there.
He is there. I can see him. Riley, I want to congratulate you. You're one of the people who have done something for peace. You've actually gone into the streets trying to call for, if I understand it, man, I'll let you tell me, but for ceasefire and for some sort of settlement in this horrible business unfolding in Gaza. I guess that's roughly true. You've been to some of the demonstrations?
Yeah, I have been to some of the protests recently.
By the way, Riley has a program, of course, on Monday at 9. It's Student Revolution, isn't it?
Yes, it's Student Revolutions in History.
Some people need to tune in for that. I want to ask you, there's a publication I see called The Grind, and I don't know if you looked at it, but they covered some of the, and to me, they do excellent work. They have a wonderful article by a woman who was from the Independent Jewish Voices, and she was at the Mount Sinai. Oh, see, now you see, I'm trapped. I said Mount Sinai. It was a demonstration from the Israeli consulate to the U.S., and they passed Mount Sinai. And she was very unhappy that it got misrepresented. Well, and the publication, The Grind. Are you familiar with that? Do you see that site?
Yeah, I love The Grind. I think we had their founder in at CIUT a couple months ago, actually.
What do you know? I should listen to the Taylor Report. Now, here's the deal. I'm really offended that the Prime Minister and Jagmeet Singh and Mayor Chow all said something about this demonstration, which was calling, was urgent because of the increased bombing and massacre. And they said that the demonstration, because it had stopped momentarily in front of the hospital, Mount Sinai, that it was anti-Semitic. Now, you didn't attend, but you looked into that. Can you talk about it?
Yeah, so I had some very good friends who were there, and I know a lot of people who attended. It's, frankly, kind of absurd to think that anyone who's advocating for basic human rights and to stop a genocide
and save hospitals.
And save hospitals is doing so out of a hatred, particularly for a certain group of people.
Yeah.
But that protest specifically and the quick response, it was so immediate by so many of the mainstream publications that it was the protest at Mount Sinai, which was anti-Semitic, instead of the protest on University Avenue, which is where most of the consulates are around. Specifically the American consulate, which is quite literally touching Mount Sinai Hospital.
Yeah. They're very tight neighbors. Yeah, the what got me, and again, I'm really, that's why I'm glad we have democracy now. I'm glad we have CIUT. I'm glad that you have someone like yourself who we can talk to about it. I don't understand the lack of respect for tens of thousands, actually, of Canadians who've been turning out all over the place. And the mayor doesn't actually go to the trouble to find out what happened. And Prime Minister just says he just shoots his mouth off. I mean, within hours. And the same with Jagmeet Singh. And by the way, of the three, I guess Jagmeet would be the one you'd say, don't you know any of the demonstrators? I mean, NDP is allegedly interested in peace. Some of their members have done heroic things. They've gone to the West Bank and matters of that kind. But a total, they treat the demonstrator, those words by the Chow and the Prime Minister and Jagmeet show they're alienated from the peace movement.
Yeah, I think they are completely and totally alienated, which I think is very unfortunate. And I think, as we saw earlier this year with the whole applauding a Nazi in Parliament thing, they're very happy to just speak that was, information.
Shucks, I goofed up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're very happy
shucks.
To do whatever essentially their staffers tell them, which is not quite the quality I would look for in a leader of a country. I would personally want them to actually check firsthand or through any reportable, verifiable accounts on anything that they talk about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, particularly in a crisis as ugly as this one, you would think that everyone would be policing their language and saying, that's not, it's the old doctor's thing, don't make it worse. And the prime minister made it worse. And because editorials get written, and it's a, he framed it in such a dishonest way. He said, well, you know, recently he said, of course we're concerned, you know that word? We're very concerned. He says we have Jewish liberals and we have Muslims. Well, that's not fair. You have Canadians, and they all have different kinds of opinions. And to frame it like that is to actually cause further conflict, because that isn't the conflict. The conflict is really an aggression by a major power. Israel is a major power in terms of its hardware on a population that is their responsibility, an occupied area, and where people are being slaughtered.
Yeah, it's honestly, genuinely, I do think it is kind of anti-Semitic to say, is it anti-Semitic to oppose genocide? Like, assuming that all Jewish people are for genocide,
right?
I think is significantly worse than ever protesting outside of a hospital.
Yeah. Certainly, people like... the woman I cited from Grind and Independent Jewish Voice, and there are many Jewish organizations that have spoken up, and it's just a simple fact that needs to be underlined is that some of the leading, most articulate, most informed voices in North America certainly are from the Jewish community, and to have it thrown in their teeth. Such ridiculous language. And then let's narrow it down. You, again, you've been, I don't know how many demonstrations you've been to, and I congratulate you for all of them, but have you ever heard any or seen any anti-Semitic behavior at any of these demonstrations?
No, genuinely I haven't. And it's been, honestly, it would be completely reasonable if there was anti-Semitic behavior. I don't condone it, and I don't think it's a good thing in any capacity whatsoever.
My guess is they'd be shut down.
They would absolutely be shut down. And it's very funny because you can tell whenever there's a Palestinian protest versus any other kind of protest, mm-hmm. because there will be at least 8 cop cars around if mm-hmm. there's a Palestinian one. Recently, I think on Saturday, I was at one just briefly on Spadina and Bloor. And I think I counted 16 cops just milling about for the single most peaceful protest I have ever seen. Not only did they not block any infrastructure, they actually created a path in the bike lane so that people could still bike and travel around.
Isn't by the way, this is the new, we're seeing it in England and France, where these countries that have a strategic alliance with Israel, which, you know, they all started this little mantra, we stand with Israel. They don't say it so loudly at the moment, but they keep bringing the cops closer and closer, finding reasons why the cops need to be there. And to my mind, what the ultimate game that they're playing is intimidation. And to, you know, they say, well, no, you can't climb on the hoardings, or you can't, be in this lane, or what they really mean is we're going to slowly cut you down, to reduce you. Meanwhile, we have have leaders who do not pay attention and do not speak responsibly. And on that score, I'll just tell you, I don't know if you have the similar impression, but they always warn that if anybody has power and they're, you know, known, that they should be very careful in their language, because the troops, the people who think that they are the, you know, follow them as the bosses, will tend to act out. If the prime minister uses that kind of language, somebody may act out. Which it's very discouraging that we are in this situation. It's Riley Moorman of 9 a.m. Mondays. And you took up this subject this morning, didn't you?
Yes. So this morning we did our second part episode on South Africa, the ANC, and the end of apartheid. Obviously related to that and very intensely intertwined is the Palestinian liberation and the struggle for Palestinian freedom. Those two groups were intensely cooperative. Yeah. And Nelson Mandela very famously said that without the freedom of the Palestinians, there can be no freedom and no justice around the world.
They're haunted by it because they agreed that he was a great figure. And now, but they say, and of course, we honor him in the breach. Isn't that what they say? No, we're not going to repeat what he said, but we love him. That was the way the West treated him.
Yeah, exactly.
He was very clear about that.
Well, he was on Canada's terrorist watch list for a very long time.
Yeah.
Until, of course, he got into power and then we started treating him like a real politician and not just some, you know, criminal.
They brought him to our stadium, the baseball stadium, and they brought all the students out and they had him put him in a golf cart and he went around. And at the end of the day, he said, "I feel like a hood ornament."
Yeah,
I wish he had reminded all these people shaking his hand what they had called him.
Yeah. And that's the very thing, right? They don't care about his cause or what he stands for. They care because other people think he's important.
Yeah, and how they might now benefit from pretending to like him.
Exactly.
Well, Riley Moorman, thank you very, very much. I do appreciate it. Again, this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And we have maybe 5 minutes. And I wanted to say this again. Well, we had Evangeline, and he is going to be speaking in Kitchener, Waterloo, and Hamilton. And I know you can go to the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, has a site. There'll probably be others. I'm sure Eve will be mentioning this. Something happened at the International Court of Justice. And just to underline, the ICJ is the real deal. It is not the ICC, International Criminal Court, which is kind of a knockoff of the ad hoc courts created by the U.S. In the 1990s when they had the flag in their hand and they were barking mad with how much power they had. And so that court has not worked out because the only people being indicted by it are Africans, frankly, to put it simple. But the ICJ is a real deal. And I really urge listeners to listen to, you can just go online, and there are 52 countries sent legal scholars to make the case. They're calling on for an opinion from the ICJ about the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza for guidance. And just to get to the nitty-gritty, China made a really remarkable intervention there. China is known to be rather reticent, and they choose their words carefully. If you watch the Security Council, they are very, 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 I would call it correct about how they approach matters. And they said something in their presentation, which we want to echo. They said the Palestinians are under illegal occupation. They are the victim of colonialism, which is absolutely true, and that they have the right to self-determination, and they have the right to resist occupation up to and including armed struggle. And I sat up when I heard that because it's been about 20, 30 years since anybody actually said it. It happens to be true. Struggles against colonialism have been the defining period after World War II, when countries that nations and peoples who had been under the British and the French, particularly, began to resist the Portuguese. Let me don't forget Angola and Mozambique, and they had to win their independence, their freedom, by force of arms. And China said, and not that it's new, it's just that they reminded everyone that the Palestinians have enjoy that same right. And in their presentation, they didn't say, they have a right to be terrorists, because terrorist has been the word that has been used by in the West for anybody who fights against something the Americans support. They call it terrorism. But you have to parse that and get to the point. The Chinese representative said, no, they cannot commit crimes. They cannot attack civilians. No one could do that. That is a crime. However, they do have the right to use armed force against armed oppressors, against the military and the state that is oppressing them. That was echoed, incidentally, by the representative of the Islamic Republic. I call attention to this because I think we are coming to a kind of historic moment where, once again, the issue of decolonization and the right of self-determination, which, by the way, is a struggle for democracy, this is becoming the key matter of the day for all peoples. And it's wonderful to see the International Court of Justice hearing these arguments, which are in nature revolutionary, because they're ending the oppression of a people. The country I would like to listen to, and I'll try maybe report on it next week, is Algeria, who lost 1 million Algerians to the French, and there's still some debt to be paid there. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM, and we've been doing our show from 11, and we will be on again at 5, and probably for the short future. I want to thank everybody, and we'll see you next week.